Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. The warranty means so much. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And terrific service department. Yeah, routine, difficult, they handle it all, and they do it with ease. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So, this is what happens. There was a period of time when this profession that I'm in had some standards to it. And I try to talk about the standards every day when I do teach class. I'm not teaching again until Wednesday because Monday's an off day because of King Day. But KVAL news anchor, and that's in Eugene, Oregon, Brandon Cameron, reported last night that head coach Dan Lanning was currently in Tuscaloosa. I previously worked in Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I do have some sources there who did confirm Lanning is in Tuscaloosa. Okay. And look, and Cameron did work, by the way. Okay. There, in fact, he even when they had a victory parade, he was actually one, the on-air TV host of their victory parade one year. So it's like he did work there. And people have been like, "You have to be kidding me." Richard Johnson tweeted, "I'm told Oregon head coach Dan Lanning was in Eugene as of late this afternoon." This is yesterday. If he's in Tuscaloosa, the Concord was involved.
Maybe he was on the same flight Shohei Ohtani was on earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, somebody was saying, well, you know, the local news sources outside the inner circle of national insiders. Look, national insiders make mistakes, too. Sorry. Okay. But, like, stuff like that, like, come on. You know, and people tracking jets and things like that. My goodness. You know what? I'll give you an example of how sometimes some of this stuff works. Let's take a search a long time ago. All right. Ed DeChellis takes the job at Navy. Okay. And so they had it down to three candidates. Jim Everhart, Pat Chambers, and Rob Jeter. Well, it was very difficult to track where they were going. You want to know why? Because all the interviews were done in Charlotte. Charlotte's a hub. It's a hub airport, so it's easy to get to. All the interviews were done in Charlotte. They were not done here in State College. Okay. So there are ways like, hey, there's a plane going to Tuscaloosa. Here's a plane going to you. So okay. I got it. You're a bunch of sleuths. I got it. But there are other ways to do it where you talk to somebody at a neutral site. All right. And that's If you're smart about it, that's how you do it.
I saw somebody say online yesterday that if you see a coach on campus, that doesn't mean he's there for the interview. It means he probably already has the job, that they never do on-campus interviews.
Right. They don't. Yeah, and you try to pick some place. Say, let's do this. Let's just say, instead of Dan Lanning, let's just say, I don't even know the name of the Oregon State coach right now that took over for Jonathan Smith, but say it's the Oregon State coach. Oh, for goodness sakes, just fly the dude to Dallas, okay? And talk to him there, right? Get a conference room, set it up, okay? And then move from there, okay? If that's how you do it. You're now forced to do it this way because you've got people always trying to, like, scope out where people are going all the time. I mean, there's a way to do it. Where you can just, like, calmly go through everything you want to do and all the questions that you have without having a group of people waiting outside to see who's coming outside to talk. Okay? Yeah. But that's the way it'll be. Really, the agents are the ones that get involved when it finally... the agents will be the ones, and they work out the final details. But there are a lot of buyouts involved here too. I mean, the buyout at Dan Lanning, I think, is supposed to be $20 million, based on James Conner. Like, takes James's buyout right now is $6 million. Mike Norvell's buyout's $4 million.
I was going to say, the list I looked at, James was, like you said, James, I think, was the second lowest, and Norvell is the lowest.
Yeah. But Alabama doesn't worry about that.
No.
You think they worry about that?
Well, I was going to say, if they wanted Dan Lanning, I don't think they would have worried about the $20 million either.
Right. No. But this goes back to, and I've talked about this for several times, how important fit is. And fit means a lot between the university, the athletic director, the alignment with the president, the fan base, and how to get personnel in. Just because it's Alabama doesn't mean you plug somebody in, even as a really good coach, and everything goes great. Bear Bryant left. They brought in, Ray Perkins got moved up. Former Giants head coach. And they were okay. And then they went to Bill Curry. And Bill Curry did a good job, except he couldn't beat Auburn. So he was out. Gene Stallings, to his credit, won a national title. But after that, they had Mike Dubose, Mike Price, Mike Shula. They had one other guy in there.
Dennis Franchione.
And it didn't work. And they finally brought Saban in. And it didn't work. And believe me, they did not have a parade when Nick Saban came in. They're like, he's 15 and 17 with the Dolphins, really? It was kind of like that. And they were also on probation, too.
Didn't everybody want Rich Rodriguez?
That's a good question, Todd. I can't answer that.
I was going to say, I think that was the other guy that was up for the job then.
I will trust that you are right about that. no, seriously, because I can't answer that. And Rodriguez at that point was on a great run at West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work, and they bring in Saban. Okay. Look at all the people Notre Dame has gone through between the end of the Lou Holtz era and then Brian Kelly. Look at all the people that had that job. Switching left and right, left and right, left and right. I mean, over and over again. Right? Look at USC, John McKay, then John Robinson did a good job. But look how they wandered for such a long period of time until finally Pete Carroll came in. Right? And then after Pete Carroll left, they're still wandering since Pete Carroll left. Right? You've got to hit it right at the right time with the right person. And you just don't know who that person is. That's my point. Texas, Daryl Royal, wander. I mean, they had, you know, Fred Akers was a good coach. John Malkovich was a good coach. John Makovic was a good coach. I mean, but, like, didn't put them over the top. And they wandered until they got Mac Brown. And then, until they got Steve Sarkisian, they wandered after Mac Brown was gone, running through different guys. You don't know. These are the top brands. These are the top brands in all of college football. And it's just automatic that you don't, it's not automatic that you plug somebody in and the success continues. It's just not.
I think, you know, Penn State deserves a little bit of credit. You know, that, you know, I mean, Bill O'Brien took the NFL job, but, you know, they found James, and James hasn't really missed a beat and has kept. I know Penn State fans might not be in perfect agreement with this, but I mean, I don't know who you're going to get to win that, you know, to win 10 games every year like they've done, and that's.
Look, fans made it. No, I shouldn't say this. There's a vocal part of the fan base.
A vocal minority.
You know, that don't want to hear this. But believe me, they hit it big with this guy. Right? Bill O'Brien did a great job of guiding Penn State through two very tough years and staying over 500. The two worst years were James' first 2 years. And Bill told me, again, he said, Steve, we need to hang tough. If he told me this once, he told it 20, 25 times. Steve, we need to hang tough. 14 and 15 are going to be the two worst years of this. Well, it turned out Bill was in Houston for those 2 years, and James had it. And so he built it back. If you were to have said to Penn State fans in 12, 13, 14, and 15 that you will play in five New Year's Six bowl games, win three of them, along with the Big Ten championship, and be consistently ranked in the top 10 from 2016 to 2023, they'd have looked at you like you were crazy. Yet that's what this guy has accomplished. I mean, that's what he's accomplished. He's got five double-digit win seasons, which in 12, 13, 14, and 15 were thought to be a pipe dream. Getting one was going to be a big success. That was a pipe dream. Again, you got to go back to that period of time where it was like, because look, that's what I've always told people, that when Penn State beat Ohio State on the blocked field goal by Marcus Allen and returned by Grant Haley, what happened on that play and what happened at the end of the game, in 12, 13, 14, and 15, the Penn State fan base, in my opinion, had an us against the world mentality. When that kick was returned, and then the final 4:27 rolled out and Penn State won the game, that was the first time that there was a release of joy in that stadium in years, like pure release of unadulterated joy. And that includes an overtime win over Michigan, the four overtime game, things like that. It was still an us against the right? That was the release of joy, the first time I felt like the release of joy in that stadium in years. Right? And that put it back on track to being the fun place to be in college football. You know, and believe me, and this guy has been a huge reason why that's happened. Now, can they now get in, make that next step? That's where they are now. And I know it's easy to say, look, Georgia hired Kirby Smart. Okay, name me the other hire that did that. Over here, just show of hands. Where's the other hire out there that did what Kirby Smart did? I'd like to know. Anybody? No?
I got nothing.
I mean,
Nick Saban.
Right. and Nick was 2-6 his first year.
No, that's true too.
You're like, why 2-6? It was because they had games removed because of sanctions. But that's what he's done. That's why my appreciation for him is off the charts. I mean. there's an excitement level, there's a competitive level, there's a lot of, like, you know, trying, and there's also the frustration not breaking through yet, but he feels that more than anybody. Now, transfer portal-wise, they do it the right way, right? I really like the way they do it. And they now have six players out of the transfer portal. One is a kicker. One is a defensive end, and then the four scholarship guys are two corners, a wide receiver that we all know, and an offensive tackle. I think they're all enrolled in school right now. Once I know for sure, I'll openly talk about names. I always try to be a little careful, as you know, only for the because of the NCAA regulations. That's why. Not because, gee, if I say it, James will get mad. No, it's the NCAA stuff. That's the part that would make them mad. Hey, you can't be doing that, okay? You try to be careful about the rules. You do. At least I do. But I think, you know, you can find that they're reported in a lot of different areas. So, but that's what they've done. And it's exactly, let's see, I would say, of the names I heard of that they thought could be targets that were already in the portal, they got four of the six guys I heard of total. It's a pretty good batting average. So, yeah, not bad. And let's see. So Bruce Feldman, what does Bruce Feldman report here? Who are the leading candidates? Let's see. Feldman joined the Paul Feinbaum show. He pointed to Dan Lanning, who says he's staying, and Steve Sarkisian. There's lots of guys. Not only did Saban bring six national titles to Tuscaloosa, he also has the biggest coaching tree in the sport. There are a lot of guys who spent time in Tuscaloosa and learned under Saban. Lanning was a GA there. Done a terrific job at Oregon. He's got a good situation there. He's got a loaded team moving into the Big Ten. I think that's a call that Greg Byrne from Alabama may make. I know Steve Sarkisian impressed folks in Tuscaloosa when he was an assistant there. I'm sure he impressed them when his team came to Tuscaloosa last year, beat the Tide. He led them to the playoff. He's done a really good job at Texas, and they're moving to the SEC. Let's see. He also threw out the name of Kalen DeBoer. Wouldn't be surprised to hear Kalen DeBoer's name because he's won everywhere he's been. It took only two years to get Washington turned around. He's a different personality. He's never been to the SEC. He's not in the Saban tree. But he does have Jimmy Sexton as his agent, so I wouldn't rule that out. I already brought up Jimmy Sexton's name. But again, it's not somebody that's been in the SEC. Remember, that was Brian Harsin's issue, I felt, with Auburn. And why I felt it didn't really work with Auburn. Because they hired him from Boise State, Todd, it didn't fit. It just didn't seem like it fit. And 2 years later, it's over. It was over. He was gone. They brought in Hugh Freeze.
I think coaching's coaching, but I think to that point, you know, there is a big difference between recruiting to Boise State and recruiting to the SEC. And I think the guy that was at Florida before, Dan Mullen, kind of ran into the same thing, not taking the recruiting part of it as seriously probably as he should.
Well, I think at least Mullen knew the SEC.
Yeah.
See, Harsin's coming in, and his contacts were all in the West. Now you're going down, and you don't have really any contacts in the southeastern part of the country. You have to go through a get-to-know-the-high-school coaches and where the talent happens to be tour. That takes time to do that. That's not easy. Right? And that's where he was kind of caught in that, where I'm talking about it wasn't a great fit because he didn't have any experience down there. You then have to go out and hire a lot of people with experience that can open the doors to get you the talent you need to play. And I think that, you know, I mean, that's part of it. Because you just didn't have any of the connections down there to do it. So, All right. I love what we have here. Dan Lanning staying in Oregon. Really? No kidding. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, last half hour of the show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department. Routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Nobles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Steve Jones, Todd Hummel, great to have you with us on this Thursday. Bill Belichick out with the Patriots. He will surface someplace else in the NFL, 15 wins shy of Don Shula on the all-time victory list, which includes both regular season and postseason. Nick Saban retires. Good College Game Day or Fox, their pregame show, be next for him, possible. And Pete Carroll staying with the Seahawks organization, but not going to be the head coach. So a lot of news in a short period of time. We still don't know yet what this means when it all breaks down about Jim Harbaugh. It is a wild time. A wild time.
I saw they're starting to mention Jim Harbaugh with Seattle, which kind of surprises me.
Man, if they got money...
Well,
people have money. It doesn't really matter. Or, you know,
well, that's true.
I mean, a lot of it's like, you know, who's got the cash? Okay, let's go with the cash.
I'm pretty sure Paul Allen's wife now, I guess, has the cash.
Sure do. That sure does. So does Spanos.
Well, that's true.
And you know, and how much power do they want, and how much power are you willing to give? I mean, they may want to just say, look, I just want a coach. You go out and get the players. Right, that very well may be a big part of it. So, okay, that's great. Or you may, hey, look, I want to have some say over personnel. Okay, you know, you have to negotiate that stuff out, and that does make a big difference as to who wants what. Mike Vrabel's the first guy you think of now that he's out in Tennessee to be the Patriots head coach. They loved him up in New England. Right. He's proven himself. He has coaching chops.
I was going to say, the other guy I see mentioned with the Patriots, at least early, is I think Gerard Mayo's on their staff, their former linebacker.
Yeah. And it's going to be a lot, you know, I mean, for me, on a personal point of view, I just kind of wonder what it means for Bill O'Brien. Because he was the offensive coordinator for the Patriots this past season. So what does it mean for him moving forward in the league? You know, and it's more than just thinking about, you know, I mean, money-wise, Bill's fine. But, you know, he grew up in New England. His parents have a place in Harwichport. Harwichport, one of the two, they have a place there. You know, I think of their son, Jack, who has... I mean, medical needs are important for Jack. Michael's at Tufts right now. That's how old Michael is now. Michael's at Tufts. Like, really? Like, okay. But I know with Jack, there are a lot of needs there. Jack has, I mean, God bless him, has gone out and has far exceeded what the lifespan was going to be. I mean, but he still has, you know, needs, and that's why Houston hospitals were great for him. Obviously, Children's Hospital up in Boston or whatever hospital they're going to now is incredible. But it's also something that comes into play as to what, you know, as to what Bill needs with them. So, I mean, there's more to it than that. So that's why I think, like, Belichick resigns. Well, okay, the first guy I think of is Bill O'Brien. What happens with Bill? Right? I mean, that's somebody I know and somebody I like and respect. So
it's kind of odd to me, and I don't know what
his... And of course, Colleen, too. So please, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know, he was pretty successful for Saban down in Alabama, and he is successful at Penn State. I'm surprised a little bit that at least his name hasn't been mentioned, but I don't know what his interest is in head coaching anymore, though, either.
Well, I mean, or being a college head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, being a college head coach is difficult these days. By the way, Marvin Harrison Jr. has opted for the NFL draft. I mean, I think everybody knew he was going to, but he's at least made it official. And also, Junior Colson is going to leave, the linebacker from Michigan. He's going to the NFL draft, and he should. And he should. I think it's difficult for a pro coach to take a college job. It is not difficult for a college coach to take a pro job. Now, that doesn't mean that the college coach is going to be successful in the pro job. Just depends on who it is, what it is, so forth. Like Pete Carroll went from USC to Seattle, but he already had been a head coach with the Jets and the Patriots. So he understood how the NFL worked and so forth. I'm not saying that part. What I'm saying, the easy part is you go to the NFL and Howie Roseman does the drafting. You consult. Hey, what do you think? Yeah, wait. And then you coach. Okay. You don't have to deal with contracts. You don't have to deal with the transfer portal. You don't have to deal with NIL. Now, if you're a pro coach going to the college ranks, you asked about Bill O'Brien. The pro coach going to the college ranks now has to deal with the transfer portal, has to deal with NIL, has to deal with an exponentially bigger locker room of 125 as opposed to 53. Right? And you have to recruit. You have to go on the road. You have to do it. It's a more difficult, time-consuming job. I mean, to be a college coach compared to a pro coach, I'm not taking away from a pro coach, but you're seeing all the added thing. I'm talking about all the stuff that's added in. You sit back and go, that's a lot of work.
I just think about, you know, when we talked before Christmas about Coach Franklin in that 16-day stretch and how horrible he looked, you know, for the Peach Bowl press conference from it with the transfer portal, recruiting, you know, signing day and all that stuff. And, you know, I can't imagine that even as good a shape of Nick Saban's in, that's any easier for a 70-year-old man.
Well, I mean, and that's exactly right. That enters into this. Look, college football. Okay, college basketball is a grind. Yet to their credit, the calendar's way better. Okay, July's a month to recruit. You get a chance to get some practices in the offseason. 4 hours a week, all right? You get that, a little bit here, then you really start in earnest in September, right? Your early signing date's the second Wednesday of November. Okay, we're done. You don't really worry too much about the late signing date in case you get one guy maybe, okay? You do have to re-recruit your team continuously. That's why I talked about the coaches' convention. Last year, the Final Four was in Houston. I said there aren't a lot of... It used to be that the coaches' convention in wherever the Final Four site happened to be, and last year it was Houston, was a great... You go in 3-4 days. You don't even go to the games, but like just to kind of kick back, relax, catch up with colleagues, the whole thing. Now there are people, they go for maybe a day, but they feel they've got to get back on campus and re-recruit their team. They can't be away when the portal is existing because there are hundreds and hundreds of names in the transfer portal in basketball. But the calendar still works better. And even when it comes to the NBA draft, you can put your name in. You can go and you can work out for, you can go to the combine. You can go to the G League combine. You can work out for any team. And then about 2.5 weeks before the draft, you have the ability to pull your name out. Okay. It's just basketball is an exponentially better system than football. Now, part of it's the calendar and how the calendar shapes up during the course of the year. You do have to deal with finals and split semesters, yes. But it's a better calendar to work with. Football, the way they have the football calendar structured, right? It's a horror show of a job. From the last couple of weeks of November up until you play your bowl game. Really? You have to get ready for a game. Get ready for a game. Then you got to worry, oh, the transfer portal's now open. Okay, who am I losing? I may have to re-recruit somebody. I got to make sure we're okay. Oh, by the way, I've got to go on the road and I've got to recruit. The early signing date is the third Wednesday of December. So I'm on the road recruiting, checking to make sure I didn't lose anybody in the portal. Recruiting, didn't lose anybody in the portal. Recruiting, didn't lose anybody in the portal. Okay. And, oh, by the way, we've got to play Ole Miss at the end of the month? Okay, great. We ought to get ready for that, too. What do you guys think? And that's, of course, you've got other people working on the game plans, right? Who's going to opt in? Who's going to opt out, right? If somebody's going to start the game and then not play the entire game, I got to have all those conversations and work it out and the whole thing. Oh, and then we get the signing day. Whoo, big, deep breath. And then we get to go to the bowl site. Then when the bowl game's over, now I've got to cultivate the transfer portal. What do we need? Which, of course, you've been talking about the entire time. All right, Penn State, need a wideout, check. Needed two corners, check, check. Needed an offensive lineman, check. Needed a defensive end, check. Needed to get a place kicker, check. That's just in 5 weeks. That's 5 weeks.
And it's not just the recruiting for that year, it's the recruiting for next year, because I think Coach Franklin was at both Friday and Saturday of the Pennsylvania State Football Championships, too.
Right, because you're trying to get 25 and 26, and now you're really trying to get a head start and make sure you're ahead on 27. I mean, that's how far ahead you have to go these days. And that's just the way the cycle has become, and that part has also spiraled out of control. You need to take something off the plate of these guys, because look, every coach will tell you the same thing. They love the contact with the parents and getting to go to homes and things like that. They enjoy bringing people on campus. They enjoy it. They embrace it. James does a phenomenal job with it. But at the same time, right, to have it all on the plate at the same time, I'm recruiting for 24, I'm recruiting for 25, 26, 27. Oh, by the way, I'm also looking at the portal. I'm trying not to lose players in the portal. I'm trying to see who's opting in, opting out, who's going to be a partial opt-in, opt-out. I've got to do signing day. I've got press conferences to do with that. Oh, I got a game to prepare for. Really? I know you're being paid handsomely to do this, but that doesn't mean it doesn't wear you down, because the schedule demands that you do all that. Schedule demands that. In the pros, okay, obviously Black Monday's a tough time, but for everybody else in the league, I mean, Dan Campbell, for example, is getting ready for a playoff game on Sunday night against the Rams. If they win, they'll get ready for the next playoff game. If they don't win, Dan Campbell's going to sit down, reassess personnel, staff, and think about the draft and free agency. Okay. He's not going into homes to recruit anybody. He's not having to look at the transfer portal. You know, it's the free agency part, right? He doesn't have to do any of that stuff, right? And there's no game to get ready for once they lose. Okay, it's just in terms of, it doesn't mean it's easier, but the time part of it is easier because you don't have to juggle so many balls and they don't have to have so many in the air to do the job compared to college. And that's why I think, I don't think it's any coincidence that now in the collegiate profession, you no longer have Nick Saban, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, and Jay Wright. Ask yourself why four of the true titans of collegiate coaching are not coaching anymore.
I don't see them, you know, it's... I don't see the concern that I think that they should have for this either. That I don't think I don't think it's dawning on people yet why these guys are, or it should be, but I don't think it's dawning on a lot of people, a lot of the higher ups, on why these guys are leaving yet.
Well, Saban did talk with his players, and he kept it short and sweet. It was not a long conversation with them. He said that his primary reasons were age and health concerns. And that was it. He said, you know, and the thing that stunned everybody is that he was working up until the moment he told the team. He interviewed candidates earlier in the day for the vacant wide receivers coaching job. I mean, that's what he was doing. He was interviewing candidates for the wide receivers job that morning and retired in the afternoon. He was also on the SEC coaches conference call that day.
Well, that's one way not to start any rumors that you're resigning. Just go about your normal business.
That's the thing. He did the SEC coaches conference call. He interviewed candidates for the wide receivers job and then walked in and told his team he's retiring. Okay. Right? And now they want to get the Alabama thing. They want this done in 72 hours. Okay? Just so you know, that's what they want. Idealistically, they want this done in 72 hours.
That is an aggressive timeline.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Greg Byrne's got a big job. I mean, I'm not so, you know, usually you try to have a list of people. Like, you know, hey, just in case. But, geez, if you're Greg Byrne at Alabama, did you really see Nick Saban stepping down now? I didn't. That was one night that came over and went, okay, really? Now, Bill Belichick getting a mutual parting of the ways of the Patriots? I mean, are you and I surprised by that?
No.
Nope. Right? Pete Carroll, he's 72. Not really. Nick Saban? Yes. I was completely caught off guard. Completely. Like, really? But the team has been told that the team has been told they want a new head coach in place in 72 hours.
That's probably a transfer portal thing, too.
Yeah. It's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. Great.
Well, I know, because, you know, as soon as he resigns, I'm sure the vultures are around those Alabama players.
Oh, my God. Well, the portal, let me see here. What's today's date?
Well, doesn't him resigning allow them to go into the portal?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does allow them to go in the portal. So, new coach, they can go into the portal. So, who knows? Whatever it is, they say they want to move fast. We'll go from there. But, I mean, I'm going to go in and interview candidates for the wide receivers coach, who will never work for me. I'm going to be in the SEC conference call, which evidently, according to everybody, he was animated on the conference call. Right? They say he was actively involved in a lot of the discussions, and then he walked in and quit. Like, quit, retired. I mean, that's the wrong word to use. I mean, he walked in and retired. I'm done. Like, okay, well, no offense, just by observing you earlier in the day, I really didn't see this coming. Right? Like, if the suit retired, for example. Yeah, I could see it coming. He's just been kind of sitting back in the corner office all day anyway. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Mentioned Alabama players, they do have 30 days now to transfer starting yesterday, so the transfer portal is extended for Alabama players because of Nick Saban's resignation until February 9th. All right, so if anybody wants to transfer, they can. And we'll see how that plays. If there are any, or a couple, or whatever it may be. So.
I wonder, you know, I also wonder, you know, if that, again, if that's the reason why they're going 72 hours, because the longer they wait, probably the more players they're going to lose.
Right. They probably feel like we have to stabilize this as quickly as possible. And, you know, they've got the cachet to do it, which is fine. By the way, they're now saying the temperature at kickoff for the Chiefs-Dolphins game could be 5 below 0.
Ooh, it keeps dropping.
It's going to be warmer in Buffalo. That's a statement unto itself. Maybe. Once again, let's review the show. Bill Belichick, no job. Nick Saban, no job. Pete Carroll, no job. Suit, employed. The earth is spinning off its axis.